What's up, everybody? Welcome back to this special 100th episode of the Formula America podcast. We're your host, Curt and Dylan, and we figured that we'd do something a little bit different to celebrate the 100th episode. And so here we are. So we're going to talk a little bit about us, like our origin stories, you know, what we like about the sport and all that, and see what else comes up in the conversation.
We've been talking about doing a happy hour for forever. It seemed like the appropriate time to do it.
I think
Celsius sponsor never worked out. So, Kurt, what are you drinking? Maybe we need to just start drinking and we'll pick up a beverage sponsor.
Maybe. I got myself here a little Sweetwater Hazy IPA going on.
I am drinking an Espolón tequila.
Oh, very nice.
It is.
Very nice. Well, yeah. So, I mean, we're here on the cusp of the Chinese Grand Prix. We've got practice starts tonight at like 11:30.
Yeah, 4 hours or something.
And so I figured this would be a good time to hop on and bust out this 100th episode, man. I honestly can't believe it. Like we were saying before,
no,
I can't believe it's been 100 episodes.
I can't either. And I kind of love the way it started. It's an entertaining whenever I'm talking with people in public, it gets brought up that we have a podcast and it's like, how did you get into that? And it's like, actually, kind of as simple and entertaining as it gets. There's
definitely some whiskey involved.
There was definitely a lot of whiskey involved that night. Not a lot, just a couple, but you texted me and you're like, we should start a podcast on F1. And I was like, yeah, sure, let's do that. And you're like, no, really? You're like, there's no American podcast by American fans for the American people. And I know you used to be a big fan of the WTF1 podcast and listen to them pretty religiously. And I kind of got my news from Instagram and Twitter, and I never got too into them. But I was like, yeah, I was like, there's no way. I was like, there's no possible way that that's not a thing already. And I started Googling around, and sure enough, they're really like, there was a couple of racing podcasts. There's definitely other things out there, but there wasn't like a dedicated of the people, by the people, for the people, Formula One podcast. And
honestly, for me, it was after the first race we went to, which was, I think, COTA 2019. Yep. I got back and I was like looking for more. I wanted to, you know, listen to more. And that's how I found the WTF1. But then it was just like every podcast I listened to was all British. And I was like, it's not, you know, the British humor is a little bit different. And it's just like, I felt like they weren't representative of me. but you and I were always texting each other, like, you know, F1 stuff. And that one day I had molded over for a little bit. But just that one day, it just felt right. So I was like, we should start this.
And then, it does, you know,
legitimately, I think that night I started ordering a microphone and stuff.
And the next week we were on Shark Tank, registering with the SEC, getting our professional licensing. No, just kidding. We bought a couple $100 in audio equipment, and here we are.
Yeah, dude. And the first couple episodes were definitely rough. Going back and listening to those, I do all the editing, so like going back and listening to the audio editing was just absolutely terrible. And yeah, it's been crazy trying to find our niche and all, but I think we got it figured out.
I think so. I'd say so. I think we're pretty good, but might be slightly biased, but yeah, I mean, and we're only, I mean, we started this what, November, December of 22.
Yeah.
Like we're less than 18 months in. We have, what are we at? Over 16,000 downloads, which I mean,
16 and a half right now.
We're not Joe Rogan per se, but, shout out to everyone for listening to us. Cause I think you and I would continue doing this either way. If we had two listens to date, I think I'd still be down to do this with you, but, it's pretty cool to have numbers.
Yeah, for sure. It blows my mind when you see the number count go up. Cause I remember the first few where it was just like, you know, 15 people. Oh, the first couple was just like 2-3 people. And then it got to 15.
You, me, and one person we told.
I remember the first time it got to like 50, I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. And then now, you know, it's just steadily going up.
It's a ton of fun. It's interesting seeing what everyone likes to listen to. I think our highest, like 2024 to date, our best listened to one was the Christian Horner gossip. Maybe we need to be more gossipy.
It'd just be the View or the Talk of Formula One.
I heard Adrian Newey's moving to Ferrari, so.
Oh, yeah. I heard he's going to Aston Martin. I mean, signed a contract, signed, sealed,
so
delivered.
Cool with that. So cool with that. So you set up a 100th episode agenda. We got a couple things to talk about us. How did we meet, Kurt? When did we start dating?
Dang. So Dylan and I met, I think, unofficially in 2014. We were both in the Army, and it wasn't until, I think, 2015 in Washington when we got assigned to the same unit is when I actually, like, met you for the first time. Like, I'd seen you because we'd been around, like, schooling.
We had a couple mutual friends.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, from there, what, we basically traveled all through Central and Southeast Asia together. And
shared a twin bed together.
A twin bed with one single pillow, which, you know.
Can't no, it turned to two. I woke up and we were sharing the pillow and I grabbed a second one. But hey,
when you're in the military, things, they can get weird, but they're not as weird as it sounds.
But I mean, I think I got to the team we both ended up on 2 weeks before you did, and we were new guys together, and that kind of forms a special bond of misery.
That shared suffering right there.
I particularly remember a bottle of vodka in a foreign country that got passed around. We all had dysentery, like 3/4 of the people we were with had dysentery, and a foreigner walked in. So we were all sick because we hadn't been drinking enough vodka. And this was like 9 a.m.
Yeah. That's what I was about to say. This is early morning
time. people are literally in their beds with throw up trash cans next to them. And he slammed down a bottle of vodka and was like, I want this gone by noon. And he left. And I remember thinking, surely we're going to like pour that out the window. Like, there's no way. No way. And our boss opened it, took a swig, passed it around. It made it, I think, 2 or 3 trips around. And then there was like 2 inches in the bottom of it left. And he said, hey, new guys, this one's for you. And you and I sat across from each other, finishing that bottle in absolute misery.
Man. But, you know, still to this day, I do that whenever I have a messed up stomach. I'll take a shot and it settles my stomach. So
there's not every single one of us woke up the next day and we're completely cured. Yeah. There's something to it that he was onto something. But yeah, we definitely had a lot of fun Army experiences together. You got out a little bit before me on that team. And then I think I got out 8-10 months after you, and kind of stayed in contact until we got into F1 together.
Yeah. And so that was, I think, 2019, I was back home, and that's when Drive to Survive came out. And, you know, when I was younger, I was kind of like loosely, not really a huge fan, but I would, you know, watch highlights of Formula One races. And then once Drive to Survive came out, then I really got into it. And that was the, you know, that year I went out and met with you because you live in Austin. So I went to your house and then we went to that race in COTA, which was so crazy. The difference of COTA 2019 to COTA today.
Because there was like 100,000 people the entire weekend. I mean, we had.
Yeah, you could get a spot on the hill for general admission. You didn't have to get there at 5 a.m. Like you could walk through a decent
Beers
spot.
Were $5 or something. I remember it wasn't a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Now COTA, if you have any interest in going to COTA, make sure that you try to save up enough to not do general admission. Make sure you can get a seat somewhere. And if you do get stuck with general admission, you better get there bright and early, well before the gates open, to get a spot.
And don't plan turn one. Turn one is completely packed without a single spot by like 2 a.m. Go somewhere else. Don't plan turn one.
Even if you do get turn one, it's going to be so packed around you that eventually you're just not going to be.
I think in 2021, you and I went back. So we went to COTA like 4 times together. It was the last time we did general admission, 3-day pass there. And I mean, you and I got there like 8 hours before the race and we couldn't see the race.
It was miserable. Yeah, I will not do that again. Not doing general admission there. But then we found Mexico. The amazing hidden gem just south of the border, which with flights and hotel was still cheaper than going to COTA.
Yeah.
And it was one hell of an awesome time. I cannot wait to get back to Mexico City.
We're going back this year and I seriously can't wait. Like, that was a total highlight, but let's back up a little bit. So was that your first race that you went to with me in COTA?
That was, yep.
So my first was the year prior. My wife got me tickets for my birthday. My birthday's in September. The race was in October. She'd bought the tickets long before. The cool thing was, is we had some, my wife and I had a mutual, we had friends who he had been in Formula One his entire life. His dad was a BMW Mercedes mechanic for forever out of California. They were OG F1 American fans. And we all went in 2018 to the race together here at COTA. And I've always been a gearhead. I was a mechanic for years. I've taken my diesel trucks down drag strips. Like, I've always loved. I ran a 12.6 quarter mile at 97 miles an hour in a truck that weighed 9,600 pounds. All right,
that's just frightening.
It was it death wobbled a little bit, but we made it. But going to a race, and not just going to a race, but going to a race with someone that was intimately knowledgeable with the sport, and him talking about the strategy, the tires, the drivers, the teams, the turns, the everything. I was enamored, and I've never let it go since. I don't think I've missed a race since then. Like, it was just so awesome.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, one of the things that really interests me in the sport too is just the fact that it's not just cars going around the track, but there's so many different strategy or so much different strategy in play. And the fact that the teams, it's not a spec series. So you get to see who can figure out within the regulations, sometimes a little bit outside of the regulations, who can figure it out the best. I don't know. That to me is just awesome.
Well, I saw a thing once that said Formula One will never be fair because innovation isn't fair. And I was like, ooh, I love that. I was like, that is like Red Bull's dominating by 30 seconds every race. That's because they innovated better than everyone else. And that's, it might start to get boring, but there's also like kudos to you. Mercedes did it for 8 years straight, like just absolute domination of innovation.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's cool to watch. It gets boring, I'm not going to lie, but it's cool to watch.
Hey, that's why they got regulation changes though every so often. All right, so what's been your favorite F1 moment or your most memorable F1 moment?
I got a couple. So my first race in 2018 was when Kimi Raikkonen won at COTA for Ferrari. And at the time, I didn't get the significance of it. But in hindsight, that was pretty damn cool. That's definitely like a highlight to me. You and me in Mexico last year was a ton of fun. That was definitely a highlight. I think that for everybody that's a newish F1 fan, past 5 years, like you and I, maybe watching the final Abu Dhabi 2021, Lewis Hamilton, man. Max Verstappen. Lewis had won. It was hands down. It was his race. He was going to win the world championship. It was his eighth title. It was going to be everything. And then Nicholas Latifi biffed it into the wall. And I remember thinking, God, this sucks. It's going to end under a safety car. And that's not how I want this season to end. And then all of a sudden, Massey let just the people between Lewis and Max through. And I remember standing up being like, there's no way.
Yep.
There's no way. Like... that has got to be poor Lewis. We've done an unpopular opinion episode, and my unpopular opinion was that Lewis Hamilton should have won. Stating that, one of the most epic finishes to ever, I remember it was like your favorite sitcom ever ending, and you just sit back down afterwards and you're like, how does anything compete with that?
It was incredible. I still remember the feeling that I had right then. I got a couple too. I think my first one is that first time, I think it was FP1 or two, that first time in COTA, we're back on the other side of turn one and just hearing the cars as they're like coming up to a turn and just the sounds that you can't really get on TV, But just hearing the air passing over the car and the sound from the intake and just all of it together, it's like, wow, this is incredible. And then also that was the year that Lewis Hamilton won. And by winning, he clinched his sixth title that year by winning that race. And so to see him on the podium, because we got to run on the track and to see him up on the podium.
You and I hauled ass down to be in front of the podium.
That's always a mad dash at that track when you get there. But yeah, and I think the other one would be this past year in Brazil, driving through the favela to get to the track, because the track is surrounded by favelas. And just thinking, it's like, I've traveled to South America now to go watch this sport that I love. Like, I came a long way just to see these cars go around this track. And it was like, this is pretty damn cool. This is pretty awesome. So
there's a pretty amazing sound to those F1, though. Going back to your first point, like, I've been to GT3 races. I've been to drag races more than I can count. I've been to a lot of those. I haven't been to NASCAR yet. And there is something about a small, we're not going to go there, but that Formula One engine, I wish I could have been around in the V10 era.
Oh,
yes. The V6 era is not my favorite sound, but it is still light years ahead of, I think, any other racing series.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I can't wait. Hopefully we'll get one of those show runs or something that they do at the races with the V10.
You and I missed Danny Ricciardo driving Dale Sr.'s car by 10 minutes.
That was the highlight that we were both waiting for. We got to the track just a little bit too late.
He was like pulling it into the garage when we walked in. Races attended.
Well, I know you did the COTA 2018. I've done COTA a couple times with you. I've
done COTA four times.
Yeah. Then we both did Mexico City.
Yep.
And then I did Brazil last year.
And I backed out at the last minute. I didn't get to go to that one, but yeah.
And so
we're trying to do one international race a year.
Yeah. So hopefully this year, hopefully we'll be able to get both COTA and Mexico, even though they're back-to-back weeks, but we'll see.
We are looking at, and it's hard. And I think this is worth a discussion point in and of itself. You and I've been to a fair share of races, not a crazy amount, but enough to kind of know what we like. We've sat in grandstands, we've done general admission. And my personal favorite thing right now, and it's what you did in Brazil, and it's what I did in COTA last year, is go like to Saturday. COTA last year was a sprint race. I did quali and the sprint on Saturday, had a great time at COTA, went home next day, went to a bar, sat and watched the race.
Right.
You got to watch the race. If you're at the race, you're not watching the race. It's kind of an experience, which is cool and worth its own weight in gold. But like, to guys like you and I that love the race so much, it's almost more worth it to sit somewhere in peace and get to watch and enjoy it.
Now, but if you haven't been to a race, it is worth it to go, because lap one, when all the cars come around together, it's like, it's a visceral experience. You see it, you hear it, you smell it. Like, all of your senses are just like pinging right then on that first lap. But I think that's why it's important. So you did it last year at COTA, which was a sprint race. I did it at Brazil, which was a sprint race. So we still got the race feel on Saturday. We got the quali and then we got the sprint. But if it's not a sprint race, especially if it's your first time, I would stay for the full weekend.
I agree.
But once you get a couple under your belt, I think that's the key, man. Just go for Saturday. You can even go Friday and Saturday. And then go somewhere else on Sunday, watch the race. Then you don't got to fight with the crowds leaving the track. You get to watch the race, like you said. And
I mean, you and I walked miles to our cars, sat in traffic for hours. It's worth it to go to it once or twice, but once you do it a few times, you're like, all right, yeah, I agree. and then you talk to your rich friends, and then you're like, oh, that's why I took a helicopter in. You're like, oh, cool. Can I come?
Can you invite me next?
Can time? I come next year?
I'll bring the Chick-fil-A.
All right. Kurt, current favorite driver.
My current favorite driver. I'm going to say Lando is my current favorite driver. Danny Rick has always, he's been my favorite for the longest.
He is your spirit animal.
He is. But right now, Lando brings me the most excitement. And I like the come up. I feel like I get to come up with him as he progresses through the ranks. And becomes a becomes a winner, a race winner, hopefully. So Lando is my current favorite.
That's fair.
What about you?
I'm a Max Verstappen fan. I have been since I started racing. I loved the punchy kid that you couldn't trust. And I remember back in 2018, 2019, interviews with like Lewis Hamilton being like, you can do a lot of stuff until Max Verstappen's behind you. And then it's nerve-wracking. It was like, you don't know what he's going to do, but you know he's going to do something. And it's just so nerve. And I've loved watching him. When I was a mechanic for a little while, the front desk guy, Marvin, was a huge F1 fan. And Marvin was your quintessential front desk mechanic. He was, you know, not the most well-off guy, but he would save up 3 paychecks to get his Formula One on his phone. He would watch it, and he loved Lewis Hamilton. He'd always talk about him throwing his nose in. He would always. And I liked Lewis a ton for that, but I loved how nervous Max made him, and that just kind of made me a Max fan. And so even to this day, like, absolute domination. I wouldn't say Max is my favorite to watch, but I still kind of love to see him win by 30 seconds and just be that glory story.
I mean, you got to respect the hustle, man. Yeah. You got to respect the talent and what we're being able to witness. Like, you're witnessing somebody in their absolute prime. It's just greatness on all levels. The team is firing, well, most of the time firing on all cylinders. And, you know, it's just all of these things have come together to create this awesome experience that is Red Bull and Max Verstappen right now. So it is impressive. It's definitely impressive. And seeing where he came from is also impressive to watch. So, yeah, I get that.
Current favorite team?
I'm on McLaren. And here's why, too. So when I started watching, I was like you, Red Bull, Max Verstappen fan. I remember 2019, Max
in got 2019, we were anybody that crashed into Lewis Hamilton fans.
Yes. But something happened. 2019, I remember Sebastian Vettel rear-ended Max in one race. And then, I don't know if that's the same race, Max got spun out and wound up coming back through the pack and made it. I don't know how high he made it, but he passed a lot of people. So I was like, oh, I really respect that. But then Danny went to McLaren. And once Danny got to McLaren.
Whoa. You're missing a year there. Danny went to
Renault. Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't get behind that, though. But then once Danny got to McLaren, I was like, all right, Danny's got a chance now. So then I was like, I'm full on McLaren fan. And Danny Ricciardo and McLaren. And then once Danny left, I've just still kind of just stuck with McLaren. I like McLaren. I like the papaya. I want to go to the MTC. I think it's an awesome building. I just like the whole vibe at that team.
It's fair. It's totally fair. I'm gonna stay true just like you did. I'm a Red Bull fan currently, although I am becoming a Ferrari fan. And I never thought I would. Especially as an American, you see all the foreigners show up in tight leather pants and a Ferrari hat on. And I love their cars. I love a lot of Ferrari stuff, but it was hard to be a Ferrari fan. Yes. And then the SF1000 came out and it was awful. But I am coming around to being a Ferrari fan and I want to like them more.
Yeah. I think ever since Fred got to that team.
Yes.
And I remember at first, a lot of people, you know, there was no change and people were like, oh, it wasn't Mattia. That's not going to change anything switching out to Fred. But it takes a while. Ferrari,
we talked about, is
a big machine and it definitely has changed. I feel the vibe too. I feel the love from Ferrari. Yep. Like, I would say Ferrari is quickly becoming my second favorite team right now.
It is mine as well. I've always loved that. You know, they always talk about the Tifosi. And what I didn't know for a long time was that the Tifosi in Italian means the faithful. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so cool. Yeah. Like, I wish you and me included were more faithful to the one American team we have, even if they are at the back of the pack. But like, we're not going to talk about them. But, I think that's so cool what Ferrari's got going on. I will be an Aston Martin diehard fan if Lance Stroll leaves the scene.
Oh, man.
You give Alonso and Sainz at Aston Martin, I'm going to be rooting.
Bill's going to start speaking Spanish and watching bullfighting.
I used to be pretty good at Spanish until I learned Russian. They all went out the door then.
And I'm ready and waiting to be a huge Andretti fan. I can't wait. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that they are just like not taking no for an answer. Yep. It's typical American brashness right now, and I love it, and I cannot wait for them to get on the grid. I'm going to be decked out head to toe.
Their car better be red, white, and blue, and there better be a bald eagle on the horn on top where yes. Williams has that Duracell battery. That's a bald eagle.
Oh, man. Come on. Get Mario and Michael on the phone.
All right. All bucket list race.
Oh, Melbourne. I want to go to Melbourne so bad.
Melbourne. Yeah, that's definitely up there. That's definitely up there. Mine's Spa.
Oh, man. Yeah. Classic.
It's just the it's almost like and I know you're a fan of it from the old school video games and everything, like Laguna Seca, mm-hmm. the corkscrew turn and how everyone talks about it, like a Rouge through Spa.
Yeah.
Is something that is just on my bucket list to experience.
Yeah. Definitely. I don't know, after you know, especially after last weekend watching that Suzuka race, I think that would be a good one to go to, just to be part of the environment.
Yeah.
Same with Zandvoort, to be part of that environment too.
With you and I looked at it last year. We watched the Zandvoort race. It was freaking amazing. And I remember looking up the tickets and like just the general vibe and experience. And I remember them saying that to get into the stadium, there's a 3 mile long line. And it was like, I don't know. Like, Zandvoort would be pretty cool, but I don't know that I'm going to wait in the line for 3 miles. Like,
dude, day one of Brazil last year, to get into the grandstand where we were at, it was a mile long line, but it looped 1.5 times. So it was, you know, basically a 2.5 mile line.
Yeah.
And it took us, I don't know, maybe like 2 hours to get through that line. But then I guess they figured it out for the rest of the weekend because we didn't have to wait like that. The rest of the weekend was like a 15, 20 minute wait. So
I remember texting me and being like, this is awful.
Yeah, those lines suck. But it's still, if you can deal with the line to get into Zandvoort, I think that would be pretty cool. And as long as you can deal with the orange smoke, and you can't show up with wearing anything other than Red Bull or else you're just going to get, you know, pelted with mud.
Yeah, when you and rocks. I went to Mexico last year, we wore Checo shirts to
yeah. It's like, if you, because you got to walk through the streets, so if you want to be safe, you better conform.
All right, dream driver lineup.
Oh,
we got to put some parameters around this. Is this current drivers? Is this drivers in the last 10 years? I put Latifi and Logan Sargeant on the same team, or
Latifi and Logan Sargeant at Red Bull right now in the RB20. Oh my God.
That would be the incredible. Best thing for Formula One ever.
I don't know if it can get any better than that.
But what are our parameters here?
All right. Let's say we can go 10 years. We can go past
10 years. All right, another question for this dream driver lineup. Dream to watch, or like they're going to win?
I would just say just the best pairing, like the most exciting pairing. So race wins, whatever.
Do you know yours?
I'm trying to think of it. I think one of them would be
Kimi Räikkönen.
Probably Lewis Hamilton in his prime.
That's kind of my Kimi Räikkönen, and I'm feeling Lewis.
Oh,
a Kimi Lewis, because Kimi being the Iceman and just doing Kimi things with Lewis, I think would be pretty incredible. The other side of me is going with a Logan Sargeant Latifi line, or Lance Stroll Latifi, entertainment value.
The sheer chaotic, just comedic value.
But I'm feeling like Kimi Räikkönen with Lewis, or
I think I would like to see the matchup, the matchup that everybody is talking about. I would like to see Lewis and Max both in their prime in the same car.
No, I think that's 2015, or is it 16? Nico Rosberg, Lewis Hamilton. It's just that. Like,
yeah,
well, we've probably been there, done that.
But I don't know, man. I think Max now is better than Nico. Well, it definitely is.
Yeah, I mean, definitely I would agree there, but I don't know. I also want to go with like a, oh, I just had one. What was it? Max and Lewis would be fun. I think we've been there, done that. It would be fun to do a, man, it's hard.
No, you're on the clock now.
I'm on the clock. I'm trying to go someone else. I'm trying to feel like a Vettel, a, I mean, we haven't had that many world champions. We've had Max, Lewis, Rosberg, Vettel in the past 15 years.
Was, and what about Kimi's last one? When was that?
Kimi, and then two for Fernando.
Yeah.
And then there was one, and then we go back to the Schumacher era. So I'm trying, the world champions are slim pickings.
I honestly, I would say that you already had the best one, and that's going to be Sargeant and Latifi.
That would be so good.
In the RB20.
In the RB20. Yes. That'd be awesome.
That's just dangerous.
That'd be a good time, but I don't know. It's been a ton of fun. Like, it's been challenging on, I think, you and I being relevant in the Formula One space the past year and a half. Like, I've always been a fan. You know, I grew up watching football. I did a fantasy football league one year, and it was like too much. I never followed, 53 players a team, 32 teams. Like, I just couldn't keep up.
Yeah.
I never liked it. For the fantasy, I've done survival pools and I like that in football, but Formula One to me was so easy to love the whole sport. I got a few people I don't root for, but hell, if you were to say the Chinese Grand Prix was going to be won between Lewis, Alonso, and Carlos Sainz, I'd be like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. Like, I love the aspects of racing so much. So it's like, I don't even care about football anymore all that much. I'd rather be involved here and get into the nitty gritty and the tires and the strategy. And I know you're much more on the drama side, which is why half of this works so well, but I love all of that about the racing.
Yeah. Like you said, like, we've got favorite drivers, but I'm literally there for the race. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't matter to me who really wins. Like, there's people I'd like to win, but just to see the excitement and just the whole sport together.
Even the people you would like to see win, their opposites, if their teammates won, you and I both want Lando Norris to win. If Oscar Piastri was standing on that top podium, I'd be ecstatic. Like, there's no hard feelings. It's awesome.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
It makes it so fun. The only person I don't want to see standing up there right now is Lance. I don't know if I've made that clear enough.
I you know what? I don't care. I think that would be amazing to see Lance Stroll on the top step of the podium.
Veto.
Go down in history.
Nope, veto. Edit that out. I'm not participating.
Oh man. Well, I saw an interview I was telling you about. I saw an interview today. He's not sure if he's gonna be here next year, but you can't really tell from his answer, so we'll hopefully find out soon.
There's just a mixed look of confusion and probably tacos on his face.
He's like confused, but he's like, oh, those were good tacos.
Yeah, he's like, I go for some Raising Cane's right now that I think about it.
Oh, man. All right, well, we've 34 minutes dragging on here. You got anything else you want to add on this one?
To 100 more episodes, man. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I love that we're getting listens and we're growing, and we're not maybe growing at the same rate that some of the bigger ones are. But if we had no listens, I'd still be here. I think this is so much fun.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. I just want to thank everybody that listened to this podcast.
Yeah.
You're allowing us to do what we love and
validate at least to our wives.
Yeah. Right. Oh man. Well, hey guys, if you listen to this podcast, make sure you leave us a rating and a review, and make sure and follow us on Instagram, Formula_America. And I think that might be it, Dylan. You got anything else for this 100th episode?
No, send us a DM. We'll give you a shout out.
There you go. All right. Well, on that note,
stay classy, America.
We'll see you next time.